This is Fire Through Spirit with Corby Midline. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Corby Midline.
I hate to tell you guys, but I almost feel like I'm cheating tonight because this is not my show. I'm doing this for the kid. Now, if you're a cat mom or dad, you know, like me, the kid always gets what the kid wants, right? Whether it's Fancy Feast or whether it's the extra feathery feather toy or the laser mouse. And so recently, Oswald de Great, if you follow him on Facebook, he's my brown tabby and white Maine Coon, has been nudging me to get one of his favorite cousins on. Now, mind you, if you're a long-haired cat, you're probably considered a cousin. One of his favorite cousins is actually a short hair, Rasmus Muzmuz, and Rasmus is in Denmark. But there's a long-haired fellow on Facebook that Oswald just thinks is the greatest in the world, and this is the Oreo cat. So I said to Oswald, all right, I'll have the Oreo cat and his mom on the show, at which point Oswald just promptly went over and went to sleep. You know, he's gotten his world. So what we're doing is we're actually having a four-legged guest on tonight who will be fronted by his two-legged mom, Tina Madunio, who is actually a marvelous artist and graphics designer and is the mom who has produced his book about bacons and other stuff. So we're going to be talking about Oreo. We're going to be talking about bacons, of course, and rescue cats and all kinds of things like the Paw Project and what it's like to have an international celebrity who uses a litter box. Tina, we're so glad that you're joining us on the show today.
No problem. It's my pleasure.
All right. So for those who don't know, Oreo is an absolutely stunning long-haired black and white cat. I just love the little black schnitz on the nose. I thought that's wonderful. And he's enormous when you look at him in the pictures. But when you got him, he was like the size of a mini muffin. So how did you find him in the first place, Tina?
He was found by my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law was visiting with his parents, and there were a couple of kittens that were found in the yard, my brother-in-law stuck around all day to see if the mother would come back, but she didn't. Finally, when it started raining really hard, my brother-in-law felt bad to leave them there, so he brought them both home. So it was Oreo, and he had a sister. At the beginning, her name was Patches, and they took them in. The problem was is that my sister is really allergic to cats, so they kept them for a few days, and I saw them on Facebook because my sister posted pictures, so I told her right away. I said, if you guys need somebody to take care of them or to find them, get them adopted, you know, just bring them here to my house. So I think she kept them for about 3 days. It was the weekend. And on the Sunday before she went back to work, she called me and she said, I can't keep them anymore. My allergies are driving me nuts. So my brother-in-law brought them both here. And I had actually planned to bring them to a shelter in my area. It's a no-kill shelter. It's like a really big, fantastic, amazing shelter. And they had room, so I was like, okay, I'll bring them both there. And when I told my husband that I was going to bring them to the shelter, my husband was like, oh, but I want to see them, you know? because he was working that day. So my brother-in-law brought them over, and I checked them for fleas when they came into the house. My thought was, if they have fleas, I'm going to bring them to the shelter right away because we already have three cats. And I didn't want to go through them getting fleas and having to treat everybody. But once I checked them both and they didn't have fleas, I was like, okay, well, I'll hang on to them and I will try and get them adopted myself. And
how did you end up falling in love with this difficult little child?
Well, I think it was maybe after 2 days that we had him that the girl who had reserved him, she phoned me and she said, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to come pick him up. The reason why I thought it was okay to let him go that young was because she had a cat who had babies, and they unfortunately all died. But the mother was still full of milk. So I figured that since we couldn't feed him the formula, it might be a better idea for him to have a real mother's milk. Maybe he would tolerate it more. And since he was so small and frail and sick, and I figured maybe to be with a real mother cat would help him. So I accepted for her to come and get him. And then the day that she was supposed to come and get him, that's when I found him in the box that I had him in, and he wasn't breathing. It was early in the morning. Yeah, it was like, my husband got up first to go to work. He got up around 5, and he checked them both, and he left. And then I got up after, and I went and I looked at them, and I noticed that, like, Oreo, he was lying down, like, next to the litter box, and he was, like, all, he looked weird. So I went and I tried to pick him up, and then I knew there was something wrong. He was, like, limp, you know. So I listened.
So
for a breath.
No, and no heart, no heartbeat?
He had a very, very, very faint heartbeat, but he wasn't breathing. So I kind of freaked out. I took CPR when I was in college. I was a lifeguard for a little while. And I had taken a course like maybe a couple of years back for the company that I was working for. And I also conveniently, a few weeks before this happened, I was watching, I think it was a Discovery Channel or something like that, and they had an excerpt on how to give, not CPR, but mouth to nose to your pets.
Yep.
Like artificial respiration.
You saw that just in time.
Yes, I saw it. And I was like, that's the first thing that came to my head. Like, I knew how to do it for a baby, and then I remembered I saw that show. So I picked him up. I brought him to the washroom. I washed him off in warm water. I wrapped him up in a towel, and I tried to keep him as warm as possible. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I'm going to have to give him mouth to nose. At that point, it seemed like it took forever. It seemed like it took hours. It was like the longest few minutes of my life because I was so scared. I didn't know if I was going to be able to save this kitten or not. I really wanted to. I think I did it for 2 or 3 rounds, and he still wasn't breathing. So I started to cry, and I put him on the floor. And I'll never forget this moment. I prayed to God. I said the Our Father. Like, I never pray. Okay. I said the Our Father. I did it again. I gave him the breath again, and he snorted, and he started breathing. I was like, oh, my God. I was so happy.
This is your boy after that.
I said thank you to God. I said, I'm so sorry that I don't pray to you more often. Because obviously you're listening. And as soon as he started breathing, I called the vet, and they weren't even open yet, but the nurse was there. So she said, we'll bring him right away. And that's what led to me keeping him, because after that happened, there was no way that I was going to let him go with somebody else.
You've bonded.
Yeah. And I'll never forget the look on his face when he finally came to. And like, I was like right there, and I was like looking at him right, like his face, like right close to mine, you know? It was.
Are you my mommy?
Yeah, exactly. Like that's what I felt like he said, you know. So it was unbelievable. After that, we've always had a very, very close bond. So.
If you hear that rumbling and thump, Oswald the Great is also on the mic, and he loves that story. So he says, thank you. Yeah, we're talking about Kira. So now you have this bitty schnutz, and you saved him. And so Oreo is now a part of your family. When did you realize that he was ripe for fame?
I didn't at the beginning. I didn't make his Facebook page so that he would be famous. Like, I made his Facebook page because I have three nephews, and two of them are allergic to cats. Their mom is also allergic to cats. But they love animals, and they keep asking their mom if they can get a cat, if they can get a dog. And when they saw the pictures of Oreo and Patches on my other sister's Facebook page, they fell in love with them instantly. So at the beginning, I made a Facebook page for him so that my sister Lori could show my nephews, and they could, you know, follow him and stuff like that, and they could look at his pictures and they could watch him grow up, even though they couldn't, like, come over and visit him, you know. So that was the idea. Yeah, it was Rasmus Moosmoos that started his fame. Rasmus shared his page when he may have had 25 people following him, and they were just like my family and friends. And Rasmus shared his page, and then all of a sudden, he had like 600 friends. And I was like, what the hell? You know? After that, the biggest help was through my artwork. You know that I make cat portraits. I was posting those portraits on Twitter. At that point, I was doing a fundraiser for a shelter in Montreal, one of the biggest animal shelters in Montreal. And they rely solely on donations, and they were in a really, really bad spot. This was a little bit before Christmas last year. So I decided to do a portraits campaign, and like, I didn't keep any money from these portraits that I was making. I sold them for $25, and I donated the whole amount to the shelter. So I raised $500 for them that way. And every time I would make a portrait, I would post one on Twitter. So I was trying to get other people to buy them so that I could donate more to the shelter. And who, lo and behold, who happens to see one of my portraits but N2 the Talking Cat? I don't know.
Okay, now explain who N2 the Talking Cat is to people out there who are not aware of this demimonde of cat Facebook pages.
Yeah, N2 the Talking Cat is viral videos on YouTube. Unfortunately, the actual cat, N2, passed away this summer from cancer. But his videos live on. He has a show on YouTube that comes out every second Friday. And it's N2 and his sidekick, Kona. And they do music videos that are spoofs of other music videos. He does like one, What Does the Cat Say? That's a spoof of that, What Does the Fox Say? He does one instead of that song that Psy does there, Gangnam Style. It's a preppy kitty style or whatever. He's got a bunch of songs and he has a bunch of videos. And I used to follow them because I thought they were hilarious, the two cats. And one day I wake up and I get a tweet from N2 the Talking Cat saying, oh my God, you should totally do my album cover. These portraits are great. So
Rockstar asked you to do their album cover. This is great. This is, you know, rags to riches stories. I like that. So you did N2's cover, and then what happened?
Well, that's where it all started. I did some artwork for him, and I did the album cover for their last single. And I didn't even ask him to do this, but because he saw on my Twitter that I had cats, and he saw a picture of Oreo, then he's like, oh, who's that? That's your cat, you know, whatever. Yeah, so I said, yeah, and I showed him the Facebook page. He ended up sharing a picture of Oreo on N2's Facebook page, and I woke up the next morning, and Oreo had 6,000 fans.
Wow. Power of YouTube.
Yeah, that's where it all started. And he told me, he goes, now that you have this many fans, because the only thing is you're going to have to keep doing it. So I was like, well, okay.
Yeah, you know, that brings us to the fact that on your Facebook page, for instance, you've got three or four. It's almost like a comic strip. You do four yeah. pictures of Oreo, and usually you start the conversation, and then Oreo comes in.
Yep.
And Oreo has a snarky sense of humor, and he always
yes, he
manages
does.
to pull in the idea of bacons. Now,
yes.
what's the thing with bacons? I mean, it's Oreo just, it's like, you know, God looks like bacon to him.
Yeah, well, I think, like, at the beginning, I was, like, kind of worried of, I was a little bit overwhelmed with the amount of people that were coming to the page. And I was like, okay, so if I'm going to do this, I have to find a way to keep the people coming back, you know. And I had done at the very beginning a couple of jokes, but they weren't like four tiles. It was just a picture with like a funny text, you know. And one of the first ones that I ever did do had something to do with bacon in it. Also, one of his very first videos of when he's a baby, of like when we first got him, when he's a few days old, is him falling asleep on the bed next to me. And I was watching TV, and the guy on the TV, he was making a recipe, and he kept saying the word bacon. So I think that's where the bacon thing entered my head. And then I did a joke about him with bacon, and then people just thought this was the best thing. So I was like, well, I guess that's going to be Oreo's thing. Oreo's thing is going to be bacon. That's what's going to make people keep coming back to the page. And it did. That's you know, it, people thought it was funny. People thought it was cute. And so I was just like, okay, well, I'm just going to keep going with the bacon. And that's how it happened.
Everybody needs a shtick is what it's
yeah.
called. Now, how did you decide on doing the pet portraits? We had you do one of Oswald the Great, which we love and is in our new kitchen. I mean, you've captured his quirky little smile. But at the same time, these are not, some pet portraitists make it look like a photograph. You don't. You've
yeah.
got a wonderful artistic sense about it. When did you know that you wanted to do pet portraits?
I've always loved drawing animals. As a children's illustrator, most of the books that I've worked on, the characters were animals. So I think it's something that's always come very naturally to me. My godmother, from when I was very, very young, is a crazy cat lady. And since I was a kid, whenever it was her birthday or something like that, I would always draw her a picture of a cat. So it started at a very young age. You know, she's got every single piece of artwork that I, like, since I was like 5 years old, of the cats that I've drawn in her house. And it's just something that I've always really liked to draw. So it only seemed natural when the portrait started. And I kind of used my children's illustration style, I guess, in those portraits, because I love being able to give the portrait a personality, like give it like a character, you know. So that's why, like, some of the cats in the portraits will be smiling, or, you know, I like to make it look like it's alive in a different way, like not in the way that a realistic painting will do, but have some sort of, like, I don't know the word I'm looking for.
Just spark,
you know.
I think
some
the word
sort
you're looking
of,
for
yeah.
is there's a spark.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah. So that's
okay.
That's how
the pet portraits yeah. started. You're a children's yeah. artist as well. Have you done some children's books?
Yeah. I've done quite a few, actually. I kind of lost count. They're all on my website, my personal website, not Oreo's, but I must have done around maybe 25 at this point.
Wow. Now, are these books that you do just your author and illustrator, or do you also illustrate other people's books?
No. I've only done Oreos and one other one that were written and illustrated by myself. All of the other ones were just illustrated by me and written by other authors. I've done a lot of work for a publishing company called Mascot Books in the States. And one of my favorite and best clients is Mindy Jo Furby Publishing, MJF Publishing. It's a really neat, different type of book. It's actually a series that's based on a little dog. So as I said, you know, illustrations of animals. It's based on her dog, Tozer. And it's a series that's going to have, we hope, about 30 books. And
wow.
The books are based on the Bible. So it's a Christian series.
Okay.
And it's the little dog that brings the kids through Bible stories of the Bible, in a way that they can appreciate and understand. So it's a really, really cute series. I mean, I'm Christian too. I'm not like as into everything as Mindy is, but I still think it's a fantastic series. You know, it's something that like you can look at, and there's nothing violent in it. It's written really nicely. A lot of it rhymes too. You know, it's really well thought out, and it makes you want to turn the page. So I think I've done about 4 or 5 for her so far, and the next one coming up is going to be in February or March, I think she said. So
now, is Oreo jealous of the fact that you're spending so much time drawing a dog?
I don't know. I never asked him.
You better ask him. You may need double bacon. Folks, if you're just joining us, I have been having a terrific conversation with Tina Madunio, who is a children's book artist and also happens to be the mom and PR flack for the Oreo Cat. The Oreo Cat can be found on Facebook. He has his own website, which is, I believe, theoreocat.com. And he's got a calendar. He's got a book. When we come back from break, we're going to be talking about some of the things that Oreo supports, whether they are not declawing your cat, whether they are rescue sites, all kinds of things that he believes you can do to help the rescue cats and dogs that are in your neck of the woods. And do stay tuned, because we have a very special announcement about the show at the end of this week's program. So we're going to be going to break, and we will talk to you on the other side. This is Corby Mittline with Fire Through Spirit.
You're listening to Empower Radio. For a complete archive of Fire Through Spirit, visit empowerradio.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast through iTunes and Stitcher Radio. More Fire Through Spirit with Corby Mittline next on Empower Radio.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What did he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
This is Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Now, back to Fire Through Spirit with Corby Midline.
Welcome back. Today, we are actually allowing the cats to take over the microphone at least a little bit. Oswald the Great, my own Maine Coon, requested that we interview the Oreo cat. The Oreo cat is a marvelous Canadian species of baconators. If you read Oreo's page, you find that, you know, bacon is basically God and the angels and the flowers in the spring. Everything is bacons. And so he allowed his mom and PR flack, Tina Madunio, to come on the radio with us today and talk all about things Oreo, including what Oreo thinks is important. And one of the biggest things seems to be the issue of declawing. And if you've got cats, please listen to this very carefully, because there are an awful lot of people who don't realize it's not just like clipping your nails. It's like taking your fingers off at the first knuckle. Tina, how did you first learn about the real problem with declawing?
I was introduced to the Paw Project by City the Kitties owner, Lori Shepler. I was supposed to do a children's book for her at one point, and she contacted me. And she was the one who introduced me to this, to the Paw Project movie, and she told me she's getting on board with them, and that I should go and check out the information. So once she told me that, I watched the film, and that's all that it took. Like, I was totally shocked. After I saw the movie, I was shocked and I was heartbroken. And I vowed that I was going to do whatever I could to try and raise awareness about the issue too and help bring it to the forefront. Because in Canada, it's still legal. Declawing is actually illegal in over 22 countries across the world. And in the U.S., it's going county by county. So the Paw Project started in Santa Monica by Dr. Conrad, Dr. Jennifer Conrad. She's the one, the founder, and she's in the movie, in the documentary. And it was her idea to have it made illegal in the state of California. And from there, it just kind of started growing. So it came to Canada this summer, and it started in Nova Scotia. So there's a vet in Nova Scotia who is supporting it, and there's also a vet in Ontario who's supporting it. And at this point, I'm trying to do my very best in trying to start a Paw Project Quebec. So my hope with all of the work that I'm doing with Oreo, with his book, with trying to get the word out there, is that hopefully it'll be illegal here too at some point.
What are some of the problems that a cat can have if it is declawed? I don't think people realize just how many things it prevents the cat from doing.
A lot of people don't realize it. And the worst part is people don't realize it because the vets don't tell them. You know, when they go to get their cat declawed. Declawing a cat, there's two ways I can explain it. It's like you said, like cutting off the tips of your fingers to the knuckle. One of the vets here in a recent article that I was in the newspaper explained it as the equivalent of cutting off a horse's hooves. A cat puts a certain amount of pressure on their claws. So not any other animal really does this. Like a dog doesn't do the same thing, you know, but a cat puts a certain amount of pressure on their claws. So when you remove their claws, they're going to put pressure on other areas of their skeletal system, of their body, that they're not supposed to. So what happens is that in effect causes arthritis, first of all. So many cats who are declawed wind up crippled, wind up with arthritis, wind up with problems where they can't walk properly, they walk crookedly. The other very, very important thing to mention about declawing is that when you cut, the example I can give is when you cut your nails or when you file your nails, your own human nails, it makes like a kind of dust, right? So when a cat's nails are cut or declawed, whether it's by laser, whether it's the regular way, it doesn't matter. You got to go underneath their skin to cut the claw. And what happens is when you go underneath the skin to cut the claw, just like when we file our nails, those little bits of dust, they come off from cutting the bone, but they don't come out. They stay inside because you're going underneath the skin to do this. So those little pieces of dust or pieces of bone will stay under the skin, and over time it makes like a pebble in the shoe effect. So the poor cat has to walk around with these things in their paws, these pieces of bone in their paws, and they can get bigger over time. They can cause infections. It can be extremely painful for the cat. And the pain is going to cause other problems. The cat may not want to go in the litter box anymore because scratching in the box hurts. And to a cat, you know, their thought process is different than ours. So if they go in the litter box and they scratch and it hurts, in their minds they're going to say, like, this place hurts. So they're not going to want to go to the bathroom in that place anymore. They're not going to want to go there anymore. So they're going to start peeing and pooping in other areas around the house.
So you have your
common
behavioral problems, the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. This is a common problem.
These are all the things that people don't think about. It's, you know, it's not a simple action. Now, for those people who say, but I don't want my cats to claw the furniture, there are a couple of things that I know to do. One of them is wherever they claw, put some tinfoil because they hate that.
Yeah.
And the other is, I don't know if they have it in Canada, but I have seen little plastic, soft plastic tips that you can put over your cat's nails. And frankly, it looks like you paint their nails and you're a really obsessive mom cat, but, that way they're not clawing. But they're not clawing the furniture. Do you have those in Canada? Are those considered reasonable to use? What have you seen on those?
They are available in Canada. They're called soft paws. You can go and read about them at softpaws.com. I don't use them on my cats just because I find them a little bit expensive, and I don't really think that our cats need them, but some people swear by them. It does look cute, you know. It doesn't hurt the cat at all. So the way that they work is when you do your regular clipping of the nails, like grooming, you know, you clip the nails, and then after, there's a glue that you put inside of these little plastic soft paws, and it's non-toxic, and it sticks to their nail. So it's kind of like getting a manicure or something like that if you're a human, you know, and this lasts for a month. So there's no danger. It's non-toxic. And for some cats, it really does the trick, you know, but for there's other people that say, oh, well, you know, they come off or they fall off or whatever. So I think it depends on your cat and how much they scratch and, like, you know, what their temperament is with scratching. So, like I said, I don't use them. I would try them maybe, you know, but I just find for one pack they're kind of expensive. So,
but if it's a matter of if this cat doesn't stop clawing, then you try the soft paws. You try anything else. Now, you've also had some work. You work specifically with rescue shelters and no-kill shelters. And I know that the money from your portraits and the money from the book and Oreo's calendar for next year all helps this out. What is the rescue situation like in Canada? It's probably a little different than it is in the States. Do you have a lot of no-kill shelters? Are there huge amounts of feral cat populations? How important are rescue shelters to Canada?
There are quite a few of them. One thing that does differentiate us from you guys is that we're not as adamant on the trap, neuter, and release program, the TNR. Like, that's not really done here. I don't really know why. I think a lot of people feel that to trap, neuter, and release the cats, life expectancy might go down. This is what I've heard. I still don't see it as a reason for, you know, not doing it if it's not like it's not proven that their life expectancy is going to go down. You know, I think it is a great way to keep feral cat colonies, like, you know, so that they don't end up exploding. The big problem here is that all of the rescues, because we don't have this TNR program, all of the rescues are like, or shelters are full to the brim. So, and this, it causes a problem with like funding and stuff. Like, these places have no money. They have an enormous amount of cats. And in Quebec is known to be the absolute worst place for animal welfare. It's really bad. Like, here, basically, your furniture is more important than your pets. It's not uncommon for people to use their pets as, like, you know, some sort of a vanity, use their pet, like, show their pet, like, it's a beautiful lamp, or it's a beautiful dress, or it's a beautiful this, or, you know, I don't really know why, but Quebec is really, 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 really bad for that kind of stuff. So
I know that here in the United States, animal rescue is, if you will, the fashion now, and I don't mean to denigrate it, but here's an example. There's a very popular weatherman here in Albany, New York. His name is Steve Caparizzo. And Steve has every night of the week a 3-minute section on the news called Pet Connection. And he shows a stray cat or a dog. And more than likely, they are adopted very quickly. They hold golf tournaments. They hold something called Petapalooza, where there are literally 6 to 10 rescue shelters that all bring their animals there, and it's balloons and it's food, and they can get literally 300 animals adopted in a single day. Has anything like that been tried in Quebec?
No. No.
Okay, well, there's a suggestion. Is there a community feel to the rescues?
It's a great suggestion, but Quebec has different laws as well. Our laws aren't the same as the rest of Canada. So to be able to do things like that, we would probably have to get permission from the government first, and that would be something that would be kind of almost impossible to do. There's a lot of things that differentiate Quebec from the rest of Canada. So this Petapalooza thing, I've heard of it before, and I think we have an Instagram friend who's from Ontario, and I think that they do that there as well, because I remember her mentioning something about it, but I've never heard of it in Quebec. So just to keep a shelter going here, you get no help from the government at all. So it's very, very difficult, you know.
We don't get a lot of help from the government here either. But
okay,
you've got the ASPCA, and frankly, I've not heard great things about the ASPCA.
No,
Local places, like we've got Kitten Angels, we've got Hope, Homes for Orphan Pets Exist. They all operate as what we call a 501c3 nonprofits, and so
yes. There
are ways that they can get money because of how they registered with the government.
Yeah.
But the government itself doesn't really support it.
Yeah, but this is another problem here, is the registering for a nonprofit. I just tried to do it, and I didn't get accepted. The laws have changed recently for that as well in Quebec, so it's really not easy to register your business as a nonprofit. It's a very long and tedious process. There's no guarantee that you're going to be accepted. Anywhere else in Canada, you can register a charity and it's free. But in Quebec, it's different. In Quebec, you can't just go and register a charity with the rest of Canada and blah, blah, blah. You have to register it as a business, as a nonprofit. And because of the new laws, there are a lot of accountants and accounting firms and stuff like that who will not take you as a client for your taxes if you're a nonprofit. There's a lot of things to have to think about before you decide to do it, because it ends up being a lot more work than you would expect it to be. And there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to give like receipts or stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of shelters here, a lot of rescues here who are not registered as a nonprofit because of the new laws. They probably would like to be, but Quebec makes things almost impossible to do to help animals. It's really bad.
So this is one of the reasons, I would imagine, that doing things like purchasing Oreo's calendar, purchasing the book, getting your portrait done is a way to support these rescue organizations, even though they're kind of, well, I don't know if you have the American expression, behind the eight ball with their abilities to collect money.
Yeah,
right, so
exactly.
let's quickly go over, if we wanted to support you and your projects, what are some of the things, places that we can buy things? What are you, what is Oreo selling? You're not selling, it's all Oreo. What are these kind of things that maybe we can do for Christmas this year?
Well, there's his book, obviously. His book, there's part of the proceeds that are going to help the Paw Project with his book. His calendar, I haven't set anyone to get the proceeds just yet because I wasn't sure how many calendars I was going to sell. But I've actually sold a pretty good amount, so I'm planning on giving that money back to the Animal Rescue Network in Montreal. There's also the portraits. So there's a campaign running for, it's called Portraits for Paws, and that goes to support the Paw Project. But there's no reason why if you want to get a portrait and support a rescue, I mean, I will donate the money to a rescue as well. If you go on his website, the rescue that we're supporting right now is a very small one in my own city. It's called Cloud Nine Rescue. And they're unfortunately not registered as a nonprofit. It's a group of students. And what they do is they foster cats and they try and find foster families for the cats. They're overflowing right now, so they need a lot of help. And they have adoption days every few weeks at a local pet food store in my area. And instead of asking for adoptions for money, they'll often ask for, like, adoptions for litter or food or other supplies. So if you go on Oreo's website, we've listed them as the shelter or the rescue that we're supporting. So any donations that come through his website, we will be using them to buy either food or litter or other supplies for that rescue group.
Okay. And listeners, that is, it's the Oreo Cat, all one word, .com. Is that right, Tina?
Yeah.
Okay. If you missed all of the descriptions, Oreo's book is called Bacons and Other Stuff. It has a gorgeous picture of Oreo on the cover dreaming on a flying carpet of bacons. And it's got jokes and poems and stories and illustrations, you know, and just more gorgeous pictures of Oreo than you could possibly shake a bacon at. And then there is, of course, the calendar so that you can share your bacon with Oreo for the 12 months of 2015. And as we said earlier, if you want to do a portrait of your animal, we had one done of Oswald the Great by Tina, and they are wonderful. They are whimsical. They pick up the cat's personality. You know, no, it is not a painting that looks just like a photograph. If you want that, take a picture. These are paintings that really is anybody looks at it and knows my cat. Oh, that's Oswald. Also, there was something about a catnip box that I saw. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Catnip box, actually, we've partnered with them. We're not like making any money from this partnership, but it's also to support the Paw Project. They're a great company. What they do is they offer a monthly box of goodies for your cat. So you have to go to their website to subscribe. It's kitnipbox.com. And they gave Oreo a special code. So the code is Paw Project, all in one word, in capital letters. And if you use that code when you sign up, you get a discount off your first box. And then every monthly box after that, they donate a portion to the Paw Project. So they've been helping out a lot as well with helping the Paw Project. And just recently, they asked if they could use Oreo as their, like, model cat, so which I thought was kind
their spokes cat.
So in the next little while, yeah, you'll be seeing Oreo at, as you enter their website, who will be their main model cat with their catnip box. So, and the products are really, really great. They really put a lot of thought into what goes into each box. So there's usually like treats, a few toys, and what I like most that come in the boxes is there's always something that like to teach you about a new product. Like, at one point we got like a bacon-flavored pill paste. So if your cat has to take pills, you can cover the pill with this paste and it's easier for the cat to take it. Other hygiene products and stuff like that. It's a great way to learn about new things that come out for your cats. And in the December box, they will be including a Paw Project fact sheet that I designed. And coming up in the new year, we're going to be including a flyer for Oreo's book.
Wonderful. Bunches and bunches of pedigree stuff. Tina, if you were going to wrap up the interview with one thought from Oreo, what would that be?
Bacon!
Besides the bacon.
All right, I'm
how
sure
about
that...
your last thoughts on this thing? If he can't get his
Pardon?
Mind off the bacon.
Yeah. Well, I know that Oreo would like to thank all of his fans and everyone that supported him, supported us, follows us, helped us in our mission to help rescues and to support the Paw Project. I can't believe how amazing his fans are. Like, just that fundraiser that we did the other day for raising funds to buy books for a classroom of cats, we collected enough funds in like 2 days. So his fans are fantastic, and I could not ask for better people. They are caring. They're really wonderful. So he would definitely want me to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts to all of them.
And we will say thank you to you and to Oreo for lightening Oswald's heart. We have finally had a cat star on the radio. So thank you, Tina, so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
This brings
thank
us,
you.
You're welcome. This brings us to the announcement that I said I was going to make. And if we had the old Roy Rogers and Dale Evans Happy Trails music, I would have Remy cue it up. It has been a wonderful 3.5 years with you, my listeners, on First Empower Readings and now Fire Through Spirit. But all good things come to an end. And so my last radio show is going to be on December 18th. That's in 2 weeks. So next week, December 11th, is the last call-in Corby show. If you want to call in, get a reading, if you want to call in and just tell us what the show has done for you over the past 3 years, whatever it is, the phone lines are going to be open, and it's 248-809-3475. You're also more than happy to write to me with your questions or comments. You can write to me at corby@firethroughspirit.com. And the entire hour next week will be just you guys and me. The very last show is fitting. It's with Sherita Starr, who comes in 4 times a year on the solstices and equinoxes to tell us about what's going on for the next 3 months. And of course, being December, we're also going to be looking at 2015 in general. What's it got? What is it going to bring us? So again, that's December 18th. That is our final show. Tune in at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and join us for, if you will, the last hurrah. Sherita will be doing quick readings on the air, and I probably will as well. I'm certainly going to say it on the 18th, but I really do want to thank Brent Carey. Brent is the mastermind behind Empower Radio, who has worked with me so diligently and so well since we started in 2011. And my wonderful engineers, there's Matt, there's Nate, but the two that have always had my back, the first one was Captain Bob. And for the past couple of years, it's been Remy Smith. I hope that you've had as much fun doing the show as listening to the show as I've had doing it. So we've got a couple of couple more times to get together. Please mark them on your calendars. Again, that's December 11th is the last Corby call-in show, and December 18th is the last show, and I'll be doing it with Sherita Starr. Until then, hug your cats. You can even hug your dogs. But realize that these little four-paw people depend on us not only for food and water and shelter, but love and care and thought. And it really is a two-way street. They bring an awful lot into our lives as well. So after you turn off the show tonight, go smooch your fuzzy face. They deserve it. So we'll see you next week, December 11th, for the final Corby call-in show. Till then, have a great 7 days from Fire Through Spirit.